Radio Prague News.
The ABL Detective Agency obtained wiretap recordings of the mayor of Prague in 2009, according to the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes. The Czech embassy in Syria will remain open and may offer services to other EU states. And the lower house has passed the new Postal Service Act, which will remove the last monopoly from the state-run Česká pošta. The ABL Detective Agency obtained wiretap recordings of the mayor of Prague in 2009, according to the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes. The paper says that the phone calls were made between then-mayor Pavel Bém and lobbyist Roman Janoušek in 2007 and were later acquired from the state intelligence agency BIS, while leading public affairs member Vít Bárta was at the head of ABL. According to Mladá Fronta, the recordings show that Mr. Janoušek was involved in making key decisions about city zoning, the sale of land, and the city's personnel policy. BIS has denied involvement with the recordings. ABL has previously been accused of monitoring Prague politicians and of being closely linked to the Junior Coalition Party public affairs. The Czech Republic will not be closing its embassy in Syria and is instead considering offering its services to other EU states that have closed their own embassies due to the worsening security situation in the country. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs says that the range of services will depend on the embassy's personnel and technical capacities and on interest among EU countries. On Wednesday, Slovakia became the latest of the seven EU countries that have closed their embassies in Damascus, where clashes between the army and insurgents have occurred in recent days. The ministry says the embassy is an essential source of objective information on developments in Syria and serves some 200 Czechs in the country. The Chamber of Deputies has passed the new Postal Service Act, which will remove the last monopoly from the state-run Česká pošta. Česká pošta is currently the only service able to deliver packages of less than 50 grams, meaning primarily letters and postcards, which amount to one-third of the postal market. EU legislation accepted by the Czech Republic requires that postal services be liberalized. The bill gives Česká pošta a postal license until 2017, after which time a selection procedure will be held. Disputes have arisen regarding the requirement that other market players compensate for the state company's losses after that time. The industry association has warned of major lawsuits if the bill goes ahead in its current form. The Czech centre-right government survived a vote of no confidence in the lower house of parliament on Tuesday night. The opposition Social Democrats, who tabled the motion, criticized the government for what they see as a series of ill-conceived government steps, such as the health care and pension reform, as the reason. However, the opposition did not manage to get enough votes to oust the cabinet led by Prime Minister Petr Nečas, which could rely on the support of all coalition MPs. Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka said, however, his party would try to topple the coalition government again. Now turning briefly to the weather, clear skies and spring-like temperatures of around 15 degrees Celsius are expected to continue over the coming days. Meteorologists promise daytime highs will not go below 10 degrees. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we look at the Czech Constitutional Court after the departure of one of its most prominent figures, Justice Eliška Wagnerová, and look at how Prague is marking International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. In Spotlight, we will explore a new cycle path in Prague, and we'll end the half-hour program as usual with a Czech lesson, so do please stay with us. The Vice President of the Czech Constitutional Court and one of its most distinct judges, Eliška Wagnerová, retired on Tuesday as her 10-year term in office expired. Dubbed the Queen of Dissent, Justice Wagnerová left a deep mark on the top Czech court. She was behind some of the court's crucial rulings, including that on the EU's Lisbon Treaty, and unwaveringly stood up to political pressure. Jan Richter asked Professor Jiří Přibáň from Cardiff Law School whether her departure marks the end of an era for the highest court in the land.
Eliška Wagnerová definitely was one of the most robust judges sitting on the court, and she was also nicknamed as the Queen of Dissent. So she didn't shy away from expressing her own views, and these views were very often inspired by European and U.S. jurisprudence. So she definitely was one of the most influential persons sitting on the court, and we mustn't forget that she was appointed by President Havel, and with her, the Havel legacy is disappearing from the court.
The Constitutional Court came under criticism, for example, by President Václav Klaus, who criticized the court for being too activist. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Well, I think we have to separate two issues here, because President Klaus definitely waged his own war against not just the Constitutional Court, but the whole system of justice, and he tried to corrupt the whole system. So let us leave these political aspects of the matter. And when we think about judicial activism, indeed, all post-communist constitutional courts were activist in some way, but the special activism of the Czech Constitutional Court was its robust doctrine of legitimacy of the democratic rule of law and the constitutional state. So I think it was legitimacy and activism perfectly justified by the needs of Czech Republic in democratic transition.
The current president, Václav Klaus, is trying to come up with his own nominations for her place at the Constitutional Court, and he hasn't been that much lucky, because two of his candidates, I think, have been rejected by the Senate, which under the Czech constitutional system has to approve them. What kind of changes or what kind of approach does Mr. Klaus take when it comes to the Constitutional Court? What would he like the court to be?
I think it's already quite a long story of appointees of the current president not to be approved by the Senate, because ever since Mr. Klaus came to his office, he tried to push through the appointment process his own appointees, to the dismay of the Senate. So the most recent examples are just part of his long practice of getting politically loyal people as appointees to the court. However, even the second court that was headed by Mr. Rychetský as president of the court declared its independence, and certainly acted independently and very often in the interest of the constitutionality and Czech constitutionalism, rather than in the narrow interest of political elites, whether it is government or lower chamber of the parliament.
Professor Jiří Přibáň from Cardiff Law School speaking there to Radio Prague's Jan Richter. Moving on now, March 21st is the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. And to mark the occasion, organisers from Opona, a non-profit NGO, have helped put together an exhibition, screening and concert to take place on Wednesday afternoon and evening at Prague's Lucerna Palace. Several notable Czech artists, including Ester Kočičková, Xindl X and the Tap Tap, are taking part. Jan Wellinger has the details.
In parts of the Czech Republic, racism remains a difficult and persistent problem, most recently in the Šluknov area in northern Bohemia, where anti-Roma rallies were organized with alarming regularity last autumn by right-wing extremists. As a result, a recent study published by experts at Masaryk University found rhetoric usually used by neo-Nazis was finding greater currency among some residents, including local politicians. To send a signal against hatred and intolerance on March 21st, Opona has put together a number of events at Prague's Lucerna Theatre, Café and Music Bar, just off of Wenceslas Square. These include an exhibition, a film screening and concert. Radio Prague spoke to Opona's Pavla Katnerová.
My jsme oslovili především kapelu The Tap Tap,
We got in touch with the group the Tap Tap, whose members are disabled and have experience with prejudice or discrimination, if not racism, of their own. Esther Kocichkova will take to the stage to perform her Aryan folk song, which has the chorus, "Thank goodness they always serve us blondes." Another guest will be the singer Tonia Graves with a new version of Michael Jackson's Black or White. And last but not least, there will be performances by Jarda Svoboda from Trabant and Marketa Krausova from Láska Vole, who will sing songs about prejudices which we live with. Xindl X will also perform material.
Odpověď na písničku kapely Láska Vole, kdybych já byla mrcha.
Also in Wednesday's program are two screenings of The Last Flight of Petr Ginz, the story of a remarkable Czechoslovak Jewish boy who died in the Holocaust, whose story has become known to millions. Pavla Kantnerová again.
Petr byl velmi nadaný chlapec ve svých 14 letech.
Petr Ginz was a very talented young man. At 14, he had completed many pictures and paintings and wrote stories and several novels reflecting life under the Nazis. In 2003, his story became more widely known when Israel's first astronaut took one of his drawings with him to space aboard the space shuttle. Upon return, the shuttle, the Columbia, suffered disaster and was destroyed. All those aboard and, of course, the picture were lost. It also happened on what would have been Petr Ginz's 75th birthday. The story led to his diaries being rediscovered, and as a result, this film was made.
Florida a Wake Forest University natočili ten film.
So if you're interested in either the screening or the concert at Lucerna on Wednesday, you can find more information at oponaops.eu.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a fresh edition of Spotlight, an ideal choice today in view of the spring weather. We explore a new cycle path in Prague's Vítkov district.
The rumbling railroad track that used to pass through Žižkov and Prague was completely natural to the gritty but chic image of the 19th century proletariat quarter. The main western entrance to Žižkov was arched by three foreboding railway bridges, and the noisy spray-painted cars passed alongside Vítkov Hill en route to the cargo station. 4 years ago, the trains were still rattling the plaster off that lower end of the neighborhood, just as they had been since the late Industrial Revolution. And then the route was cancelled for a higher capacity alternative. What remains is one of the most peculiar places for a stroll in all of Prague. Ostensibly a bicycle path, the newly paved track offers a look at a side of the city that might as well have been buried for decades. To take in some of the interesting sights and hear about their history, I went for a walk along the track with lifelong local Pavel Trojan, who runs the website Žižkov.info. Sitting in his cafe, surrounded by maps and pictures of the quarter's older glory, he offered a memory of the railway track shared by many a local.
Actually, I remember coming to one of the most popular pubs around, which is the pub U Vystřeleného Voka, coming there from the high school a few times a month. You were sitting outside of the pub, there's a beautiful like pub garden, and the trains were coming regularly, I don't know, once 20 minutes, which was pretty nice. And this railway is pretty old. It was built at the year 1872, and that was first of all the railway from Prague to the city of Kralupy, and then it ended in Turnov. So it was like the way to the north. That time, it was the way from Austro-Hungarian Empire close to the border with Prussia.
We're standing behind the famous pub U Vystřeleného Oka, or at the Shout-Out Eye, where there's always been some bas-relief
sculptures here on the side, some kind of very strange avant-garde Czech art, but now they've added to the back of the building as well to take advantage of the popularity of this new
Yes, actually this pub, or the design of this pub, it's a work of Martin Verishek. And this, since it was it would, like, open from this side where we stand now, which means from the former railway, they just designed it a little bit like more on the facade. So this is what you see from here is a few friends all together. It's like Jimi Hendrix, Václav Havel. I don't know who else. I can't see that
in relief sculpted on the side of the building. But everything that has anything to do with this pub is about the Hussites.
Oh yeah. That's why.
Important to note.
That's why what you can see here, like from the side of the cycle path, that is Jan Žižka on the bicycle.
On a bicycle, appropriately.
Yeah, and what is over here? That's what I suppose is the Emperor Sigmund actually lost the battle.
Who was defeated here at this hill, right?
Probably at the skateboard. Look at him.
Starting at the more remote end of the cycle path in Vysočany, you will soon see one of its oddest offerings. The Vítkov track is probably the only cycle path in Europe to run through an old railway tunnel. Shortly past that is another relic, an old footbridge leading over the track. Once it allowed young athletes from the Sokol Gymnasium on the one side to access a tennis court on the other side, but now it's just one more antiquated architectural adornment of the path, another being the characteristic terraces on the residential buildings. The architecture of working-class 19th-century Žižkov is typically embellished and beautiful from the street and pragmatic and humble from the back, where the cycle path offers unparalleled views.
What can you see? Actually, that's called in Czech pavlač. You would call it in English probably terrace.
Terraces, yeah.
Terraces. Some people think that this is something very, very special and unique in Žižkov, but you can find a lot of such terraces in Nusle, in Vršovice. These flats, they usually had around 20 square meters, which means that there was no toilet in it. And the toilet was one for example, three families or four families on one floor. And so the floor was part of social life. People had to go, I don't know, every 30 minutes or 1 hour, 2 hours out, and then they were just talking to their neighbors. What is funny that you had to live with the others, which means that you could, you know, you could be in fight, but not for a long time. That is what we don't know today. Today, some parts of Prague are kind of ghettos. You don't know your neighbors, and you don't want to know them.
And you can see lots of these pavlači all along this cycle path. And at this one where we're standing right now, the local Green Party has planted a number of, well, it's an herb garden, isn't it? And it's some kind of mild protest.
It is. The Green Party here in this district in Žižkov, it's I would say pretty unique, because they really show the locals that we have a lot of green around, but it doesn't have to be like this in a few years. So there is some kind of need to fight a little bit and to show the locals that still the developing of this place is just starting.
Now, this place that we've come to right now, I think, has become one of the most interesting points where you can stand in all of the city of Prague.
Absolutely.
We're standing on top of the old green steel rail bridge, where there's absolutely beautiful views of these old first buildings that were built in Žižkov, as you said. It's a bit noisy because you have the rather dirty Husitská Street beneath it, but the architecture is absolutely fabulous, and you get a completely different perspective of the borough here, don't you?
This is probably the most beautiful place in the cycle path, which was opened. There was one more bridge here, about 50 meters the way to the city center, but that one wasn't so nice, and it got torn down.
Yeah. Some of these buildings are really very peculiar and very beautiful. This one here is a Cubist building.
Yes, that is right. These buildings are really from the end of the 19th century. this, look at the tower. This is just beautiful architecture. If that would be in Vinohrady, everybody would be like, wow. But because this is Žižkov, and you don't usually come here for like walks. If you don't come from this part of the city, you don't know that. Yeah, they're beautiful. The architecture of some of the buildings is really nice.
And to the left here, right now we're standing on top of the road. If we go a couple of meters down, then to the left here, there's a very strange anomaly. There's a very long set of steps going up from Husitska Street, from a walled-off facade that's covered in graffiti, and then they go up through this wasteland that was maybe once a garden and now it's just full of rubble, and they go up to the door of a building that's apparently locked from this side. Do you know anything about this paradox here?
Well, I cannot tell you what kind of history is here. I just know that the entrance to the building is from the other side. So these stairs probably came to be not so useful anymore. I would say definitely 40 or 50 years ago. And this is the Žižkov jungle. So come to see the only Žižkov jungle. I call it like this. But let me show you something on the other side. See, there is a chimney. That is strange. Because once you see a chimney in Prague, that is usually brewery. Not here. You see the letter Z. I don't know how to pronounce that in English. So the letter Z, that means that it belongs really to Žižkov, and it was public building. That was the Žižkov spa.
Spa?
Yes.
There was a spa here.
There was a spa here. You know why? Because people in that little flat just didn't have their own, you know, bathrooms.
So they would come to this building to bathe.
Yes. And not only that, was the spa with everything what you might know from today's Kalojvari. So there was some, you know, also treatments. And Franz Joseph also came here once. That was the beginning of 20th century. As far as I remember, that was 1903 or 1905. Got here and had a bath too.
And I'd just like to mention this one additional view here towards the end of of the track, where there's these buildings that creep up right up to the edge of the cycle track, and they give almost this kind of like post-apocalyptic feeling here. It's very strange. It's kind of like there's very few people on this cycle track most of the time, and these buildings just hover very, very high. Much more. Yep. Most buildings in Prague are 4 to 5 stories high. These are 7. And so this is really one of the only places in Prague, really, where you can see 7-story 19th-century buildings, which almost seem like 19th-century skyscrapers, kind of, from this point of view, where you're standing at the very foot of them. And most of them haven't been, or several of them haven't been repaired, so they're still peeling, and altogether it creates an absolutely remarkable atmosphere.
But you know why? If you look from the other side, or if you look at the map, you would see that the street is actually much higher. About 2 levels higher than what you can see from here. So that is that was the fight by the architects. That was the fight with the terrain. In Žižkov, you can see a lot of stairs. That's also some kind of fight of the architects with the fact that Žižkov is a valley.
That edition of Spotlight was prepared and presented by Christian Falvey. And we'll wind up today's Half Hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series, ABC of Czech, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
Yes, we are back with a brand new lesson about Czech wild animal idioms. And we start off with a little quiz. Can you guess which animal makes this noise? Any ideas? Well, that was a fox barking, a noise which may be familiar to people in countries where urban foxes are an everyday reality, but for Czechs this is still the sound of the wilderness. The fox,
Liška,
is famed as an extremely cunning animal. And not only in Czech.
Lyshka,
is both the generic word and a female fox, vixen. A male fox is
Lyshak.
If someone is described as either
Lyshka
or
Lyshak,
he or she is definitely sly and crafty, just like a fox. Usually the full expression is
Lyshka podšitá,
a wily fox. Literally, it means a lined fox, originally probably a lined fox fur coat, an expression which over time acquired a whole new meaning. The species is called the red fox in English, but in Czech we say the color of fox fur is ginger. About people with red hair, Czechs say
zrzavý jako liška,
ginger like a fox. Foxes are predators and are feared by farmers, who probably coined the expression to love someone like a fox in a henhouse.
Mít někoho rád jako lišku v kurníku,
meaning not to like the person at all. Foxes in fairy tales and fables are also vain and especially proud of their long furry tails. There is a saying,
každá liška svůj ocas chválí,
every fox praises its tail, meaning everyone brags about their own qualities, everyone advertises their own goods. My favorite Czech idiom about foxes uses the image of a fox to describe a remote, deserted place, the middle of nowhere.
Tam, kde dávají lišky dobrou noc,
where the foxes say good night, is a place so far away and so isolated that even the foxes have nothing to say to it but good night. That, of course, is not the case with urban foxes, who most likely say good night somewhere near the garbage cans. Anyway, our time is up, but next you can find out about another wild animal and the tracks it has left on the Czech language. Till then,
naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with ABC of Czech Radio Prague's Czech language course, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, then the address to write to is english@radio.cz. This is Danielle Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.